Friday,
Friday.
Chris, how's it going?
Good. How are
Doing
you?
good. And we have our special guest here. We're waiting on our fourth, and there he is.
Yes,
But good to see you, Charles and Justin, our special guests returning to the show. Charles Harris, portfolio manager at O'Neill Global Advisors, longtime friend of the show, friend of IBD. Great to see you, Charles.
great to see you as well. Allie, it's been
And
a long time.
it has. It's been a minute.
Well, it's been
It's
a long
great.
time between us, but
Right.
on the show at the end of the year, so
I feel like, which is, it's sort of an annual thing now that we wrap up the year with you. So I think it was our third annual end of year wrap up with you. But at any rate, so glad to have you back and good to see you, Justin, as well this morning. Justin Nielsen, our market research director and host of the Investing with IBD podcast, along with our chief content officer, Chris Gessel. That's our panel today. And in Dark Ops, we've got some folks from the team. We're going to have Hatman Dave join us soon for the morning headlines. Also, seeing David Ryan and Mike Webster in the background. Perhaps we'll be joined by, and I'm seeing Ken in the background as well. A couple of things to go over with everyone before we get started. We do have a Q&A and we welcome your questions and comments. Just be aware that we can't get to them all, even though we wish we could. You only see the questions that are answered, not the hundreds of unanswered questions that get submitted each day. But we do our absolute best to focus on the stocks and strategies most relevant to the current market. Now, regarding the Q&A, IBD does not provide any individualized or personal investment advice. So we can't answer any question that reflects your individual situation, needs, or objectives. So please, when asking a question, do not give us any information about your personal situation or your portfolio holdings. And IBD Live is for informational and educational purposes only. Please make sure to do your own research before making any trade. We are not making trade recommendations. So with that, Charles, I'll let you go first, our special guest. Any tickers for the audience's radar this morning?
I'll share a position I'm currently in. It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
Bloom Energy, BE.
Okay. Looking forward to diving into that one with you. BE, over to you, Chris.
I want to take a look at Dell Technologies. It's maybe looks like it might be building a handle here in its cup.
Okay. DELL and Justin.
Not much out there that I'm interested in, but let's take a look at General Dynamics, GD, as the ticker symbol.
Okay. GD. And now over to Dave for the morning headlines. Take it away, Dave, and I will follow along
All
with the
right.
charts.
Great. And hopefully everyone can hear me, or we're doing good.
Yeah, we hear
Awesome.
you.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, we have some negative action in the futures, everyone. The Nasdaq 100 futures down 1.6%, despite some positive earnings news that we'll go over very soon. In the meantime, the S&P 500 futures down 1.3%, and same for the Dow Jones Industrial Average following a big swoon in the market yesterday. We also have the TNX 10-year Treasury up again, right now about 2 basis points to 4.17%. Now, on that note, I just want to squeeze in here special birthday wishes to a former Fed chief, Alan Greenspan, 100th birthday today on March 6th. It'd be nice if we could have an interview with him, but
The
I don't think he,
maestro.
the maestro, exactly, Bob Woodward's book. There's a great column, in fact, by the former longtime Federal Reserve beat reporter on the Wall Street Journal, David Wessel. Wessel rhyming with Gessel, but with a W. He's now with the Brookings Institution. And he wrote a great column about how he had made a mistake reporting on the Fed in 1989, thought that the Fed was going to cut rates. They didn't. Greenspan called him and said, instead of giving him a tongue lashing, he said, "Well, you're in fact the first Fed reporter who ever issued an apology to me. I appreciate that." Very, very interesting guy, though. David Wessel. David Wessel. He's also a part of the Brookings Institution. Great column in Barron's in this past week's issue on the last page. I really encourage you to check it out. Very short column, though. All right, let's go now to crude oil, Allie. Yesterday we had a big jump. Crude oil going into today was up 41% for the year at 81.01 a barrel. This is WTI light sweet crude. Started the year at 57.41 a barrel. Now we are at $88.07, up another 9%. In line with that, the Qatar Energy Minister Saad Al-Kabi told Financial Times, as reported by CNBC and others, that Persian Gulf or exporters might stop production if the Strait of Hormuz doesn't open soon. So there's a big issue right over there. And Saad Al-Kabi also predicts that if this crisis regarding oil exports doesn't get resolved quickly, we could see $150 per barrel crude. In the meantime, regarding the Iran-US-Israel war, right now, I believe a number of defense contractors from the U.S., the likes of Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, those are tickers LMT and NOC and others. I don't have a complete list, but they're meeting at the White House to discuss issues regarding the inventory of weapons needed to maintain peace globally. All right, so let's also look at natural gas. It's still down for the year, but it's also moving up 4%. The futures are at $3.12 per million BTUs.
You remind
Gold.
me of the ticker to pull up for that natural
Oh,
gas?
usually we do UNG, Allie.
UNG, that's right.
UNG. Yeah, let's see if that is up in the pre-market. There we go. It's actually tracking. There we go in the pre-market, up 4.3%. GLD gold futures are up about 0.7% after falling about 0.9% yesterday. Through yesterday's close, gold still up 17% year to date. Believe it or not, silver, which had a big move, as we know, last year, also up 17% year to date. Silver futures are currently at $82.97 per ounce and up about 0.9%. Now let's go to some earnings news. And if it's okay with you, Ali, I like to look at the weekly charts of
Sure.
these companies. And let's start with Avago, Broadcom, AVGO. We already reported on this one, but heading into today's likely sell-off, we have a 4% gain in the weekly move of Avago. I want to highlight some comments from an analyst at Gabelli Funds. Ryuta Makino notes that after the conference call, it looks like Broadcom's quote seems to have strong visibility on AI CapEx spending until 2028, and that while CPO, which is co-packaged optics for networking, is still years away from going mainstream. Makino believes that copper will continue to dominate in the scaling of AI networks up until 2028. So, looking at copper is still pretty strong this year. We look at CPER, but the futures are up just a penny right now, $5.80 per pound. CPO is a type of technology that converts electrical signals into light directly onto the same substrate as an A of an AC ASIC custom-made circuit. That's what Broadcom is famous for. And that could actually eliminate the need for power-hungry retimers and DSPs or digital signal processors. So keep an eye on those kind of companies that produce those. Let's see. Let's go to KR Kroger. Kroger enjoyed a 5% pop yesterday after posting a 12% earnings gain. It is near handle, as you can see on that saucer base. Burlington, which reported yesterday, up 7% yesterday on strong earnings, 20% EPS growth on a 11% sales growth. That 11% sales increase on Burlington was the biggest since the quarter ended in October of 2024. Now, after the close Thursday, we had Costco. It hit a low of 972.65 after hours, down about 1%. It's down now 4%. Net revenue up 9%. EPS up 14%. Same store sales up 7.4% system wide, but although stronger outside North America. A company does have, just so you know, warehouses in Taiwan, 14, 7 in China, but the vast majority come from the US and Puerto Rico. Membership revenue at Costco Costco up 13% and 30 million above views. A few more here. We have Marvell up 11% on a penny beaten earnings. MRVL is the ticker. Now the 22% quarterly revenue growth extended a streak of double digit gains to five quarters. Samsara, this is IoT, Internet of Things technology company. They had a very nice EPS jump of 64%. And that was on top of a strong gain in the year ago quarter. That stock was up 8% in the after hours. Gap down 6% on a disappointing 17% drop in Q4 profit, light sales growth. We also had SWBI, Smith & Wesson Brands, up 12% on a huge jump in fiscal Q3 profit to 8 cents a share. The revenue growth was the best in at least eight quarters, up 17% year over year. Finally, we had Embraer, the Brazilian jet maker. This is EMBJ, the ticker. Q4 estimate was for 78 cents in earnings. I'm still looking at the numbers here, but the stock is sharply down after reporting earlier this morning. Well, looking forward to a great show, guys, and back over to you, Allie.
Thank you so much, Dave. We appreciate it. Let's turn our attention to analyzing current market conditions. Charles, I want to start with you and get your thoughts on this market. We've seen a lot of chop. So what's your view and how are you handling it?
It's been a really, really tough market. It was tough last time I was on at the end of 2025. And so we're basically... you know, we've been in this 4 to 5 month just sideways consolidation, sideways action. And that's really the toughest kind of market because you're just not trending. You know, in an uptrend, you can make money on the long side, and a downtrend, maybe shorting or at least clearly staying out of the market. But in this type of environment, you know, there are some things working, but the odds are against you of making money in this kind of market. So I'm not doing a lot of buying. I'm trying to hold what I have and just wait for a clear direction to emerge. And I think that's the smarter way to play it. But it's tough because then you have, you know, certain, like, I think this is an environment where there are things working, right? So we had the storage stocks, memory stocks, had huge moves, which I largely missed. You know, now that they're up so high, like, is anyone's guess what's going to happen now? I think it's like, I'm not looking to these to start new positions, you know, even though, you know, maybe a high tide flag is emerging, but you know, I could actually, if it were to break out. But and the fiber stocks had huge moves. So there are places where you could have really made big money. But most things aren't working in this environment. There's a lot of failed breakouts. And so I think I don't hate the action of the market or the way it's consolidating. I feel like we keep getting like upside reversals at support levels. So I'm not really negative on the market, but I do understand this is just the type of environment, it's really hard to make money. So I'm not really doing a whole lot. Given the what's going on in the world and this all the geopolitical concerns and the price of oil and, you know, where the war that's going on, the market could be down a lot more. And the fact that we're not, to me, is very constructive, but still I think we need to wait for a trend to emerge. So I was actually hoping after yesterday's setup, you know, today was a possible follow through day, but the way we're opening doesn't look like that's in the cards. So who knows? You know, you can see that there's, you know, every time we sell off, we seem to bounce. And again, a few days ago with that upside reversal, I thought that was really constructive, but you know, there's a lot of tough news headlines and so forth. So I think the environment is just tough right now. It's been tough since October. My personal account peaked in early October, like the first 2 weeks. And now I'm just kind of treading water. I'll make money, I'll lose money, I'll make money, I'll lose money. So it's just a very frustrating environment. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling the same way.
So you said you're holding off for now on making new buys, but there are setups that you're tracking. Would that follow-through day signal be the catalyst to maybe switching gears and starting to dip your toe in the water with new buys? Of course, it depends on how the setups are looking, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I still have a fair amount of exposure in the market in my personal accounts.
Just holding
And
what you own, though, what's.
this holding, well, the Tesla position, which everyone, I think I'm now known for, is I've actually did pick up a little bit of the 200 day.
Okay.
So I did add a little bit to my position, but again, I'm treating that differently than any other stock I've ever done. I've just been holding it for years now. It's been a pretty terrible investment for the past 4 years, from peak to peak. Basically, it hasn't really made much, if any, money, a little bit. But I'm just holding that guy. I think it's funny, I was actually thinking about this as I was prepping for the show, is I've kind of, because of the success I had with Tesla in 2020 and 21, and kind of reorienting myself toward like really trying to hold something for the long term, that's kind of taken over some of my other stocks. So now I'm like, I find myself round tripping a lot of things because I'm sticking with it. And I think I was probably back when I was trading next to Justin back in the late 90s. When I was super active, like truly swing trading, just very, very active. I don't know, that might have been more profitable to me, but I've kind of changed my mindset and I think I need some kind of hybrid because there's not a lot of stocks like Tesla or an Amazon or something where you can have true conviction for the long term. That come around, So like I'll give you an example. When I was on the show last, I mentioned that I had a position in Rocket Lab, which and I had a very large position in it that I picked up around the low 50s. And I wrote it up to 100. I took a little off. I traded a little bit around my core, but I was feeling this was going to go a lot higher, and I round tripped a great part of it. I mean, I still made money, but I mean, I was having a great year the first few weeks of 2026, and now I'm, pretty flat for the year, whereas I was up maybe 30% in my account early on. So like I had already had a great year in the first few weeks of the year, and now, so it's tough. It's a tough market. I say there's nothing wrong with taking some profits when you have them.
So getting back to sort of that post analysis, it seems like you're saying maybe have a little bit more of that active approach to stocks that aren't in that high threshold of conviction that you have.
Well, particularly in this kind of market, because we don't really have a tailwind. We're in this sideways chop. We're below the 21-day moving average. We're just not, there's just no trend. So if we're in
Keeping
a,
a tighter leash,
yeah,
sort
I
of
think
warranted.
so. And be like, I kind of went from one extreme to the other. I used to get really excited and sell. Like I'd start selling to take a few, little bit of profits, and then I continue selling as it went up. Like in the course of a day or two, where I intended to sell 10 or 15% of what I have, I'd be like, "Well, it's going higher. I might as well sell a little more, sell a little more." And by the end of the day, I'm out of the stock, So I realized like that also is oftentimes short circuiting my gains. But this is, again, in this type of environment, it's just been really tough. I mean, I like to use the 10-day and the 21-day moving averages to kind of guide my holding, because that's worked so well to keep you in some of these leaders. And so once the stock breaks the 21-day, I get pretty nervous, and then I try to hold out for the 50-day as well. And like in this stock, I still have kind of a moderate position, but nothing. I've sold 2/3, and as long as I guess I have a gain, I think Rocket Lab. I really think is a lot of the space related stocks have been working, and I think with the excitement of the SpaceX IPO upon us, I think in the near term, I think that's going to really draw a lot of attention to this group. And Rocket Lab is the only other public kind of rocket launcher that we can trade in, like pure rocket launcher. So I think that's going to help. But right now it's basing, so nothing to do at the moment. I mean, I paired a great deal of it, and I'm hoping it'll base out when the market improves.
And we don't have a chart to pull up, but just quick thoughts. Because of your deep conviction in Tesla, how are you going to be trading, or what's your anticipation of trading the IPO for SpaceX? I assume you're getting excited about that.
Yeah, I had an opportunity a year or two ago to buy some shares in SpaceX, like in the private market, and I didn't because there was like a 20% like a commission basically to get in. I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. I wish it I would have. I think they're up fourfold already, but I think one concern is that people, investors in Tesla might sell shares to get into the IPO. I would treat the IPO like any IPO. I would never buy until I see an IPO base. And at some point in the future, Elon has mentioned that his companies are converging. And he's already kind of he's been merging companies. I can see they're so intertwined that maybe there'll be a merger in the future. So at some point, maybe I'll own a little bit of SpaceX. But I would love that opportunity, but I wouldn't sell my Tesla to get into it, especially since I've been holding it now for so long, and they're on the brink of autonomy. I mean, I drove up to San Francisco last weekend. I didn't drive the car. The car took me the entire way back and forth. I literally don't have to drive the car. I mean, I have to pay a little bit of attention, and every so often I'll make an adjustment, but they've pretty much figured it out. So it's just a matter now of kind of tightening it up. And so I wouldn't sell Tesla given that all this so much has happened under the hood that's not reflected in the stock price. To me, the stock price has been in this long 4.5 year range, and it's a pretty wide range, so it has not been ideal. But with I like to align myself with companies that are benefiting from this AI, new AI secular world we're in, the secular trend that's huge. And I think we're at the very beginning of it. And autonomy, robotics, energy, semiconductors, all these things are things that Tesla is involved in. So why would, and because Elon is the leader of the company, and I wouldn't bet against him. I'm just waiting. And this is going to be what I hope to be, my Amazon or Apple, a stock I've just held and held and held, that turns out to be good. So I think, if you've held the stock for a long period of time, it's it'd be silly to sell it now.
Great. Great opening thoughts there.
Mm-hmm.
Glad we got to also, sneak in a little look at Tesla because the audience is asking, right? So good
Yeah.
stuff there. Chris, let's go over to you and your take on the market, what you want to see from here, and how things are looking out there for you.
Well, I'd like to see a follow-through day, but what I really want to see is to get above 24,000 and trend above that. Although, the bullishness is still fairly high, and so I think we might need, like a 10% correction to kind of take kind of restart the market.
Get us out of this just sideways chop.
Exactly.
So
And
with
we did
that,
lower our exposure yesterday, 20 to 40, and it wasn't so much because of the NASDAQ or the S&P, it was the Dow and the small caps.
So
So
yeah, why don't you talk about that a little bit more here?
yeah, so the Dow was down quite a bit, and it's gapping down again today. And then IWM, which had been holding up, looked good the day before when it retook
Fifty day,
the
sorry, I
50-day,
switched.
and then it lost it, and so it looks like it's gapping down as well. So that's why we decided to reduce exposure. And for me, the only stock I now have is Micron. I mean, I've been looking for stocks to buy, but there's really not nothing. And all the stocks that I had, I either got out with small losses or small gains. And I think, going forward in this choppy market, usually I try to let things run, and if if they lose the 21 day, I'll get out. But a lot of stocks, they're not I mean, if you're getting a 5% gain, that's pretty good. So I think I'm gonna, maybe take a third at 5%, a third at 10%, and then use the 21 day for the rest. But I guess right now taking profits quicker can make a bigger difference.
Yeah, and then once we get into a power trend type market, that's where not only can you be more aggressive on the buying, but you can give stocks more room to
Yeah.
run.
The other thing, look at the VIX. It's spiking this morning and back up to the highs of, yeah, those
Let's see if I
almost
can.
near the October spike. So.
So, with a bit more of a defensive posture here, Chris, what are you doing? Are you doing any hedging? Are you doing any
Oh, I'm
shorting?
completely hedged
Completely.
on my Micron right now. And then, if it can really start showing some strength, I'll take it off. And if the market is in good shape, then I'll start adding to it. But for right now, I've been looking. I've been, every day I go through and screen a ton of stocks and ETFs, probably 500 tickers all together, and which is actually, a lot for me. And there's really very few things that are even setting up right now.
That definitely says a lot. All right, Justin, let's go over to you. Would love your thoughts on the market action. And also, someone was asking, how do you handle gap down at the open in the market, or for an individual stock if it's near your stop? What strategies do you use? Of course, it depends on the stock and what's going on exactly with the market, with how quick you are to perhaps cut ties with something. But can you walk through your mindset on that?
Well, I mean, my first thought is, oh, expletive, kind of thing, but then I rely on a rule, right? So for me, it's either a 5 minute or 15 minute rule, and what I do is I just basically look at that first 5 minute bar and say, okay, I'm gonna give it a little bit of time, see if it can turn around, and if it does, then I put a low at that 5 minute bar. Now sometimes I'll switch that to a 15, but it kind of just gives me a line in the sand, and then if it cuts, if it goes below that, then I just cut it. And sometimes it does come back, but it gives me a way to just have a rule in place rather than what can happen sometimes, or what happened to me before a lot of times, is I would just start selling everything, and I'd be selling everything right at the lows, before it came back. So that 5 minute, 15 minute rule just lets me take a little bit of a breath and, see what the market does. And sometimes it does cost me a little bit extra. If, and again, I'll look at the 1 minute bar, then the 5 minute, then the 15, and again, each one kind of gives me a look of, okay, can it find any support? But at least it slows me down a little bit from not just a knee-jerk reaction. And look, that's the big risk, right? When we have our stops in, we always say, well, okay, we're only risking this much, but the risk is that if a gap down happens, your risk could be a lot more than you expected. But yeah, that's the way I handle it. And I know, Brian Shannon has talked about, using that kind of 5 minute rule as well, just 5 minute bar, and if it crosses it, so be it, type thing.
Justin, would also love your thoughts on this commodity market that we're seeing between gold and oil. There's a lot of focus on copper. There's a lot of focus on the commodities out there. What's your take on that? Of course, a bunch of different dynamics that play with each of those, but how should we be thinking about these commodities?
Well, and like Charles said, I think one of the most dangerous parts of this market over the last, really since October, has been that while the NASDAQ and S&P 500 have been sideways, there have been so many things that were working. So it was always very tempting to be getting into stuff, and there were things that not only were working but were soaring. He mentioned the data storage, gold. There were true, just monster moves in some of these stocks during that time, during that sideways period of the market. And so, yeah, when you're seeing things like that just go crazy, and it's not like it was one or two, there were a lot that were doing that. It's kind of hard to just say, well, the market's going sideways, I've got to sit on my hands. But I feel like now, it's a little easier right now because a lot of things that were working aren't. There are some things that are holding up, but the destruction has gotten a little worse, I feel, and that's kind of pushed me out, personally. I think I have one more position, stock position, because I don't hedge my positions. Everything is in retirement accounts, so rather than hedging, I just usually will sell it, because it's just simpler. I'm not trying to protect a position. I just sell it and then try and keep it on my radar so I don't forget about it. Put it into a special list of like, hey, don't forget about me type thing. So yeah, I'm down to a single position, a stock position, and then I have one element of my 401k that kind of remains invested in S&P 500 and a few other mutual funds. And that's, maybe, yeah, it's less than, it's probably less than 10% of my overall portfolio. And so I still have that. And again, the one position, which is BTSG. I still have a lot of cushion on that, and that one is still holding up, pretty good.
Where were you buying?
I think it was that breakout.
Great.
There have been a couple times where I, had to sell along the way because of it going on SwingTrader, but then I bought it back. So I'm using that initial buy as my buy,
Exactly.
not necessarily the last one.
Right.
And kind of the another one that was the last to go was GLW. So Corning, this I was looking for this to potentially hold the 21-day moving average line, which it got there, just below there yesterday. But even that, I was selling on the way down because I knew that the 21-day moving average line was already, I think,
Very far
15%. Yeah,
off.
15% off the high. In fact, you know what? You want to try a new tool, Allie, just for fun?
Sure,
Okay.
Justin.
If you go to the left, if you go to the left on your annotation tool, and if you go down, there's a little measure one. Okay, so up a little bit and to the left,
This.
right there, right there. So go ahead and do that, and go ahead and
Go
just
from
go
there.
right there and go to yesterday. Go to
Okay.
yesterday.
Yesterday.
And do the low. Yeah, perfect. Okay, so that was how much percent
18,
was that? Yeah,
18%.
18%, So it was already down 18%, yesterday, even though it had just crossed the 21-day moving average line. So again, I knew that I wouldn't be able to stomach that. So I was doing a little bit of selling on the way down. And then, today it just hit my final, okay, I'm out.
Yeah, very cool
And then you can
tool
just go ahead and
there.
do the trash can and go back to
Yeah,
your line segment. Yeah.
if you want to delete that, you can delete that. We also have the quarterly earnings. Is it the, because we're still working on this. Should I
In
ha show
the
that on
gear
the,
that on the right
right. I
side.
was just going to say, but with Justin, should I show this on the weekly or the daily? Which,
I'm not sure.
you're not sure? Okay. We're
Weekly.
so,
Weekly.
well, I know it's more of a bug reason why I'm trying
Allie,
to do the time frame, but
Allie and I both hit a bug, so we weren't sure
we're
if
trying to watch our step. We don't want
yeah.
any, don't
Marcus
want any.
Surge is so good.
Yeah, isn't this
Incredible
awesome?
what you guys
Look at how
are.
dynamic these
It's
charts
amazing.
are.
No, I have our
So
kind of
cool.
in-house company tools, but I love Market Surge. I'd definitely be using it if I wasn't using what I have. It's
Yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah, we really souped up the visualizations for the fundamentals. We have the 21-day ATR on the chart. A lot of fun bells and whistles that we are really excited, and more to come. More to come. So keep that feedback rolling, audience. And yeah, great to hear, Charles. We're really stoked about it as well. Okay, great stuff, team. Moving on. Let's see. Ed, speaking of commodities, talk to us about what dynamics are at play here with oil. Some news out this morning. Give us an update.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, crude oil is skyrocketing. The Wall Street Journal reported earlier today that Kuwait is shutting down some oil fields. Qatar cut LNG production earlier in the week. And this is important. Obviously, shipping is still shut down. But as you shut down these production, it means that even if, as we go a few more days, these Gulf producers are going to shut down production almost entirely because there's no more supply. There's nowhere to store it. So they have to shut it down. And what that means is that, say, in a week, if everything is peaceful again, it will take quite a while for things to pick up again. Yeah, you'll get some shipping in there, but it'll take a long time for oil to return to normal. And that's again, that's so we're really at that stage where you really can't turn it back on. You can't flip that switch. You'll bring it back. I'm not saying, look, if there's peace in a week, oil prices are going to plunge. That's not, I don't want to make that, but it will take longer. There's going to be more of a blow to the global economy. I think US crude is up like 33% or so for the week. I mean, that's that's really hard to take. Natural gas prices up, I don't know, like six in Europe are up like 60, 70%. I mean, because they rely on LNG. We have our domestic natural gas. So just a lot of things there. It's just going to take longer to come back. President Trump also talked about and saying now he wants an unconditional surrender of Iran. So obviously that would suggest a longer conflict and might even a may much more expansive conflict. Again, that could change around there. And one thing that's not on oil, but we're seeing some things on chemicals. Like yesterday, Dow jumped because there's some kind of chemical that might be in short supply because of the reduced shipments that's up there. Fertilizer. I read one report that one third of fertilizer it travels through the Persian Gulf. Probably a lot of that's natural gas related. And then this, the reduction of natural gas means that other producers will have trouble making fertilizer that's natural gas related.
Yeah, I think
And
it's
just think about,
ammonia and urea in
yeah,
particular.
exactly.
Right.
I mean, there's some other things like potash that isn't affected,
Right.
but still. And just, who knows what will happen over the weekend. President Trump likes to make news over the weekend. Now, he could double down and do something more expansive, or he could say, no, we're starting those convoys that he's talked about. So a lot of things could happen over this weekend that just adds obviously to the uncertainty, that, what we might see at the close today versus Monday's open. It could go in a lot of directions. I mean, it would not be shocking to see US crude over $100 in the wrong environment, or back down below 70. I mean, it'd be that's the kind of, variance we might see in just the next couple of days. And so that's what's going on.
So it seems like at one point it wasn't certain if there was going to be a long-term impact, but now even if there is a somewhat immediate resolution, you're saying that it still could take a while for a quote-unquote normalization of the oil market.
Yeah, and that's going to just becoming more and more because it's just going to take longer. Global stockpiles will be drained. The Persian Gulf producers will be shutting down production. Yeah, so it'll be every day this goes on, the recovery time will be longer, out there whenever that recovery time starts.
So final question then for you, Ed, is how should investors best play this? USO here, quite extended. Are there any other ETFs or individual stocks of interest, or just because of that news-driven nature, now that these stocks are likely extended, does it make it that much harder to play if we do get a headline that can cause reversals, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff that we're seeing in stocks, I think, could be tripled or quadrupled when something like oil or something. I mean, again, if oil goes to $70 on Monday and you've bought, USO, today, you'd be in a world of hurt, and there's nothing you can do about it. Again, I'm not saying that's happening. It could skyrocket, and you could look like a genius, but I think that there are just extreme swings to be buying now. I'm going to be steering clear of this and just hoping I don't have to fill up my tank anytime soon, is basically how I'm going to be treating this in the near
Buy a
term.
Tesla, Ed.
Yeah.
No.
Come over to the dark side, Ed. Come
Get
over to the
on
dark
board,
side.
buddy.
No, I will not do that.
What about another EV?
When I get a new car in 10, 15 years, yeah, sure.
Right. You won't need a car in 10 or 15 years.
That's probably true.
Yeah, just
Speed that up, Petro Ed. Speed that up.
you'll have a personal human-sized drone helicopter to get a fly around in, right?
That'll be great.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Ed. We appreciate it. Switching gears here, Charles, you wanted to highlight Bloom Energy. You said not for the faint of heart. The 21-day average true range of this 11% currently.
Yeah, it's one of my, I think besides Tesla, it's my biggest position. I don't have that many positions on, but this is a fun kind. It's a fun, if it, your essence, I'm making fundamental plays. So, what do? They provide energy to data centers through fuel cell technology. And I think given what's happening in the market, This is holding up really, really well. So it's kind of like a sloppy base on base. It is a wide and loose type of stock, so it's certainly testing me, but their technology is almost like perfectly made for data center construction and providing energy. So it's scalable. I mean, I listened to the conference. It's a great conference call too, if any of the crew wanna crew the not you guys, well, you guys too, but our listeners want to check out. They is scalable, so they can kind of stack these fuel cells one on top of another. It's very quick. They can provide energy to an emerging data center within. I think they said as quickly as 3 to 6 months, as opposed to building a whole new plant or nuclear, which takes years and years and years, or regular grid construction, which also takes years through all the permitting and so forth. And in Trump's address to the nation, he was talking about data centers providing their own energy. So this really ties right into that. And what was super interesting, which I learned on the conference call, is these fuel cells generate a tremendous amount of heat. And the byproduct of that heat, it can be used to actually cool the data centers. So that's also going to bring down kind of the cost. So it's a very cost-efficient, quick way for data centers to power up. And so I think they're in the right place at the right time. And once I think the market continues to not continue, once the market, if it breaks out, I would, and this AI theme continues, which I think it will for years, they're in the right place at the right time. So I'm kind of playing it. It's technical and fundamental. Like, you really have to know the story. So particularly on a stock with this kind of volatility, you really need to know what you own and have conviction. So I think given the environment, it's acting pretty well. But again, it's been tough. And this is a stock I never buy on strength. I only accumulate on weakness because it can be down. I think for the, almost every day at some point I'm down like 10%. So
That's normal for this stock.
It's really tough. So I think it's handling itself really well given the environment. And we'll see what happens. But energy providers to data centers, or companies that are involved in that, like GEV with their turbines and so forth, which is another stock which I don't currently have a position in, but I've traded. I think these are going to be stocks that are really going to ride that AI tailwind. And so, and I think there'll be a lot of stocks. I think, solar can also work, but solar's been really out of favor. So no positions there. I had a position in NXT, but I got shaken out of that. So I had high hopes for that guy, but maybe it comes back. It's been tough.
Has been tough.
Well,
So
and
going.
I'm really glad that you mentioned the volatility, Charles, on BE, because again, if you go back to the BE chart, BE holding up, which again, you look at that peak of 176.49, and I just used again the measuring tool, and it like in the next 2 days it was down 25%,
Yeah,
and that looked like it was holding up. So I think it's also very wise what Charles was saying is you really have to be careful buying that on strength, because if you bought that on the breakout, then yeah, you could easily be down 20% and still look at the chart and say, oh no, that looks normal. It's holding up. It's holding up well. But who cares if it's holding up if you're down 25%?
I mean, you can tell when we were in a good environment pre-October, when it was trending, It acted like a normal growth stock, right? I mean, it was great. And yeah, you can buy that kind of strength. But I think in this type of environment with just with the choppiness,
414% gain.
yeah. So it was a big
Huge.
winner.
Someone's digging the measuring tool.
Yeah, I love that.
So
Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead, Charles.
I think in this environment, stay away from buying strength. And you know, the moment you get that follow-through day, then you can give it a shot. But I mean, if this were to break out, I would add to my position some, but what I'd try to do primarily my buying on pullbacks and upside reversals.
Right. So if we, you know, one scenario would be a breakout on the follow-through day, but another scenario is maybe it does keep sort of chopping sideways, lets that 50-day catch up. It might be, I'm assuming it might be a little closer to the 10-week, but maybe, you know, in a couple of weeks, would a bounce off of the 50-day or 10-week be one of those pullback opportunities that you're talking about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if it came down to the 50 day, I'd probably pick up some shares.
Okay. And folks were asking, okay, how do we use this trend line tool? So you go over to your drawing tools. There's the markup tools. You can add favorites for easy access. For our purposes, we do like the trend line tool, which you can also access by right-clicking and then click the trend line dot. You want to access it just with the keyboard commands on a Mac, it's command and then click, but don't hold down. That will activate it. And then you hover and then click again for the line to set. And then you can set alerts. Sometimes you'll get the pop-up window, or maybe right-click it to set the alert. You can also do it that way. We've talked about using the little trash can there, but it is this trend line tool that we have that you can set the alerts off of, which is
You know what I
really neat.
really like about it is you can zoom in on the chart
And
and
it
really
stays.
get your cursor right on the tip
Exact.
top of the whatever bar you want, and then start drawing it. Or actually, you can zoom back in and then really and then right click it and turn it into an alert. So it's much easier to use and more precise.
Yes. Love the dynamic nature of these charts. Okay, so Corrine, hopefully that answers your question. And so there was Bloom Energy, GEV, also on pullback watch for you, Charles, for a new buy potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely.
So we'll keep watching that as well. Chris, let's go over to you. You wanted to highlight Dell today. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I think they're I think the news was that they're doing a lot of memory work right now, and they've got a big backlog. And so it, really gapped up nicely on earnings and is, pulling back but it really looks like it's building a handle here. So I'd like to just take a look at it, see how it sets up here. I probably wouldn't go with a full position, maybe 2.5 or 5%, depending on how I feel about the market at the time. But I'm just going to be patient and wait for a good entry and see if it can, deliver something, especially if the market can get some traction here.
Okay. So we had that explosive move recently for the stock. So that's interesting. Some accelerating numbers here. the base itself isn't the prettiest base, but you like that explosive move that it had recently, Chris?
Yeah, very much so. And so, you know, if they are now getting into the AI business more than they had before, I think that, you know, could be really, you know, could lead to a move similar to what we're seeing with the other memory stocks like WDC, Micron, SanDisk, STX.
The other thing, yeah, that's looking interesting. First pullback to the 10 week after this massive run here, Chris, and I know
Yeah. You know,
a
my
couple of
neighbor used
others.
to be the chief engineer at Western Digital and still has the shares. And so
Good for him.
it was
Your
a really
neighbor. Did he
big
take you out to
deal
dinner
for
lately?
him. Your
That's
neighbor's
what
moving to Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Wine tasting on you.
And what did you say, Charles?
I said his neighbor's moving to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, he loves it out here in Paso.
Awesome. Well, let's take a closer look then, Chris, while we're here. What levels would you be looking at for this stock? Is there a trend line buy point brewing here, a retake of the 21-day or the recent highs that you would be looking at for this? Or is it more of just, hey, let's zoom out and see if it can bounce a little bit off of that 10-week?
Yeah, I think right now it seems more likely that it's going to base here, but if it can break that trend line and show some power coming off the 10 week, I'll you know I wish I got it. I was looking at it when it was breaking out of that base, you know, down at the bottom, and you know, I've traded it before, and it was like, oh, you know, this doesn't do that much. I'm looking for other stuff that's, you know, and who knew at that time that it was really turning into an AI play. And so I'm just so, you know, in the September quarter, it went sideways for, you know, 3, 4 weeks, and then started moving again, and that would have been a great time to get into it, and I missed that.
I missed all these storage plays too for the same reason. I'm like, WDC has been a laggard for, at least 10 to 20 years. They're cyclical stocks. They don't really have anything,
Yeah, look at that.
so it's, but it's, it kind of reminds me of the shipping stocks in the like in 96, 97, not 90s, 2006, 2007, where like, what's shipping? Like, who's gonna buy a shipping stock? And then the
Or the
environment,
fertilizer stocks.
exactly, and all the dry bulk and so forth, and they went up like internet stocks. So I think it's a great lesson to not be biased. Like, if the chart is showing you something and the whole group is working, there's probably something underneath that you don't understand. And for me, I tried Micron, but I tried it a couple of times and then I missed out on the actual real move. But it is real. I think on WDC, when I prefer the look of Micron to WDC. WDC, like it looks like is there's been some stalling activity on the daily there. Just you can just see how it's these downside reversals at new highs. So I think that it would be safe to buy it on like kind of an upside reversal of the 50-day, which is kind of what we have. But I'd be pretty careful. Like, that good thing about it is you can see that the 50 days been holding it. So if you see a kind of a definitive break, then it's probably the move is over.
So this is something, even with market conditions how they are, Charles, you might be interested in taking a position in Micron here?
Well, yeah, but again, I really want to see a follow-through day. So, I think I mean, I love the action of the market. You know, Mike and I would always talk about, you know, bull markets, or constructive markets, you know, open low and close strong, right? And
Right.
you've seen that, you know, with all this, the gas price spike and oil spike and so forth. You know, why is the S&P down near 3%? Like you would think things could be a lot worse. So I think this action is kind of constructive, you know, the way we're sh keep shaking out. But what we need now is some follow through. So yeah, I would still be kind of, you know, defensive. I'm really not buying. I'm just holding what I have. But if you get that follow through day, God, I took my eye off. Rocket Lab is doing really well today. And so are a lot of the space. Like there's a RCAT, which I think is in drones. RCAT. It's up
Okay.
21%. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't have a position in this.
All right.
Yeah,
Interesting
anyway,
move.
that whole sector is doing really well today. Interesting. But
I mean, did
yeah, I wouldn't be aggressively buying anything at this point. I just wait for the market to tell you it's safe, and we're in position for a follow through day once we get it. So no harm in waiting.
Okay. And there were some folks asking, I can pull up any ticker here, how to turn on some of these new features that we have. So if you're not seeing the 21-day ATR on your chart, go to this cogwheel or gear icon, whatever you want to call it here, under the chart display elements. If you're not seeing it, maybe you have this minimize ticker box turned on to make sure that's turned off, then you'll get some of these other key data points that we like looking at. And then if you want to see the fundamentals across the bottom, you have that EPS and sales table, as well as the earnings visualizations there, which we really like and very, very helpful to see that data across the bottom, especially on the weekly chart. And then we also, if you scroll out, that'll reveal a couple quarters of estimates, which is really, really awesome. And again, these charts are dynamic, so you can zoom in and out, scroll across. And if you want to change your price scale, we now do a little celebration, Chris and Webby. It's called Auto Fit instead of Best Fit
There's
because.
another name for it too that Chris and I like. I'm not sure if we'll
Well,
say that out loud.
we'll just go with Auto Fit for now. That used to be called Best Fit, but now you can either change to Auto Fit or Standard, which is the preferred viewing method. But if you have a stock that's made an explosive move recently, the prior action might get cut off, and maybe you want to see that. So the way you can do that is by changing to auto fit, and that will reveal more of the price action there. So just a couple of things that I wanted to highlight there for everyone. So hopefully that answered your question, Brian, about the 21-day ATR on the chart. Okay, Justin, let's go over to you. Let's talk about a few sectors and the action. We've been keeping an eye on rotation, and we've seen defensive areas lately really strong, like your staples here. But this week, starting to see a rotation out of that area. A couple others that we can look at here, XLV also has been a recent area of strength that this week is breaking down in a notable way. XME, your mining group, we've talked a lot about the miners, and in recent days, starting to see more notable damage there. So, what are your thoughts on this rotation that we're seeing, Justin?
Well, and let's start with RSP, because
Sure.
again, one of the things that was the trickiest about this market is that even while S&P 500 was going flat and sideways, RSP was making new highs this entire time. Or if you look at EQAL, which is the Russell 1000 equal weighted, that also was just, it was trending, and holding the 21-day moving average line. It looked just fine. So that was one of those things where it was difficult to say, oh, we're in a full-blown correction when the average stock was actually, still in an uptrend. But again, as we're seeing with a lot of these areas that were kind of helping bolster this, because it certainly wasn't tech, right? This was not a tech-driven rally here. But now a lot of these things that were bolstering it are starting to, come under pressure. And again, I feel like that makes it just a little bit easier. Add the volatility to that as well. It makes it a little bit easier for me to not be tempted, to be honest. But one sector I will mention, and this comes from Tim and the audience, he comes up with some great ETFs and stuff like that to look at, XTL, because certainly one of the areas of strength has been telecom, right? And so this is an area that's just, doing well. Now, you always should, before you invest in any sector, understand a little bit of what you're getting, right? So I always take a look at least at the top 10 holdings. So I understand, is it like an XBI where you have a lot of things that are 2%, or is it something like XLE where your top two holdings are, 20% each, that being Exxon and Chevron. In this case, AAOI is the top holding. It's an 8% holding. And look, AAOI right now, the 21-day ATR is 14.5%. So this one is, and look, you might say, well, gosh, I'm not going to buy something that is that crazy and that, sticking that far up here. But XTL does get you some exposure to that, just in a minimal way, right? But you got to keep in mind that some of the other ones that are in there, Lumentum, LITE, which we've talked a lot about, that's a 5% position in there. Viavi Solutions, which I think is the old JDS Uniphase, that one is,
Can you say the ticker?
a VIAV. That one is, that one's about a little under 5%. Ciena, Ubiquity, even in the space area that Charles was mentioning, ASTS, that's like the number six holding at about 3.8%. Now again, you gotta XTL, it does give you the benefit of a lower ATR, certainly than your AAOI. But just kind of keep in mind, this is almost at 3%, and that's pretty high for an ETF. So it's got some heat in there.
It sure does. And just a super quick note, since we've been showing off some of the tools for our new and improved version of Market Surge, Linda commented, "You're starting to get me interested in these charts." So I will say, once I personally ripped off the band-aid of my discomfort and unfamiliarity, now I do prefer them. I do. And you know what this change also reminds me of in a way is the name change, right? There were so many people, they're like, I'll never get used to the new name. And now we're all very used to the new name, the color
The
scheme,
colors, right? Exactly. I like my orange.
Yeah. So we'll all get used to it. And I think the sooner that everyone plays around with these charts, the better. And we want your feedback. We know that there are improvements to make, and there are releases happening all the time to make those improvements and fix the little bugs here and there. So keep it coming. We love hearing from you all.
And I'll be honest, when it was a time of more activity for me, it was a little bit harder for me to make that switch. But now that I'm a little less active, it's a little bit easier, right? You know, because
Yeah.
you know,
You get,
and
yeah, you
yeah.
need something that's secondhand nature, right?
Yeah, I don't want to think
Second
too
nature.
hard about what I'm doing. You know, when I feel like I need to be focused on making good decisions, I don't want to be trying to figure out other things. Yeah, right now I think is a good time for that transition. If you're like me and not being as active right now.
I think either way, but maybe the very, very first time, if you haven't used it at all yet,
Yeah.
after hours or the weekend, so this weekend, I think it'd be a great time for people to dive right in and check things out. Okay, moving on. Let's see
Allie,
here.
does
Go
Market Search still have
ahead.
that panel that shows like the different styles, like O'Neill Investor or Minervini, or wasn't that part of Mark?
The checklist
The
or
screen? Yeah, I think
the
that was a screen.
screens? The screens.
Oh yeah, we still have all the
Oh,
screens,
okay.
right? Yeah.
I'm used to
Yes.
seeing them on the left, so.
Yeah. Yes, we
Oh,
did
I see. I see. I see.
move the location of, yeah, we've just streamlined it a little bit. So instead of having accordions coming out at you, from all directions, it's now a little more streamlined. So some of anything that you found previously on the left, this is a good question because someone was asking us this yesterday. If there was some notes are a great example. If you're used to that being on the left, the notes are now found in this right panel, and all the screen building a screen, you now do that at the bottom, which makes sense because that's where you would view the results of the screen. So we've sort of consolidated
Right.
those things.
Done.
Yeah. Great stuff there. Charles, let's get your take on Broadcom. You bought Tesla off of the 200 day. What do you think about Broadcom here?
I think it's building a base. I don't have a position in it. I haven't traded it much in the past. Although it's been a great leader. I think, they're in the right place. They're in the right space. I like how it's that shakeout is at the 200 day. I mean, I like the kind of support of the 200 day. I think it's forming. I think it looks okay. It's starting to overtake the 50 now. So I think it's setting up, but no position yet. And I don't think I'd be starting a position right here. I think I'd wait for a more definitive kind of pivot. But I think it's a leading stock, this basin.
Okay. While we're here, let's get your thoughts on NVIDIA. Disappointing earnings reaction, but it also is holding the 200 day.
Yeah, I just got shaken out of that last week. It's really been a tough stock just to,
Yeah.
it hasn't been doing anything for 6 months, right? So, again, it's the right place. But the thing with NVIDIA is it's discovered, everyone owns and knows of NVIDIA now. So I think, and being the largest company in the world, I think it can be a leader, but I personally am looking elsewhere for the next NVIDIA.
Moved
So,
on.
yeah, I mean, I only want to own like so many. Well, I mean, NVIDIA is a great stock. I mean, but I think, as Cramer say, like own it, don't trade it. Like, if you're gonna own a winner like this, it's a secular winner, leader in their group. Just own it because it's too hard to trade. It kind of like what happened to Apple. Apple was like a great leader, a great growth stock in the 2004, 5, 6, 7. It really like was accelerating. Then it turned into, and it was a much higher PE then. And then the PE compressed and it just stayed compressed, in the whatever 30, 40 range. And it just became a great stock just to hold, but it was hard to kind of time. And I think NVIDIA might turn into a stock that's just hard to time. So if you're going to own it, just own it.
Yeah, and there are a few stocks that you would treat like that, right? Not just any, you know, because then you can sort of trick yourself into thinking, I'm just going to hold this for the long term versus leaning on the rules, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, so it's
something to use on a rare occasion.
For the rare stocks that everything lines up, that they can be a secular winner, they're proving it, they've got the very best management. For those stocks, like I know some people, just like lay people, and like in my dance studio, who they bought Nvidia like 15 years ago and never sold it. And they made, you know, they turned like a $3,000 investment into $300,000, like something crazy. So how often is anyone, you know, I've never done anything like that in a stock. I've never made 50-fold my money. I'm only reserving that for Tesla, though. So that, I think, you know, in the next 10 years, maybe I have that opportunity. But it's just too hard to time. I've kind of proven that with Tesla. Like, I'm not good at timing that stock. I really am not. I don't really have a great edge in trading it. Hopefully when it breaks out and starts to trend again in an uptrend, I will be able to be more proactive and do a little trading to increase my return in it. But there's certain stocks that if you've got the conviction, it seems to make more sense just to hold it and not get carried away. So I like Nvidia. I think it's great, but I mean, I'm looking for the next Nvidia, and you know, it's a $4 trillion market cap plus. And it's proven that that could even happen. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when Apple hit a trillion. I'm like, okay, that's the end of the game. Like, there, how could that be? And now we're at 5 trillion. So Nvidia, you know, it maybe becomes a 10 trillion or bigger. But I mean, I don't see it going up tenfold from here in the near term. You know what I mean? Like, it could double, you know, but there's a lot of stocks that can double. I mean, if you look at your, you know, the SanDisk and the Micron and these stocks that I missed, they, you know, the potential in something that hasn't gone up as much and for as long as Nvidia, there's more potential elsewhere for me. So I like to be in stocks that I think can go up 2, 3, or 4-fold, you know, in a 6 month to a year period. So, you know, like, I think maybe that can happen with Bloom. If Bloom, you know, can have another move, I think there's more potential there. Or in a stock like Rocket Lab than in Nvidia. So I love Nvidia. It's a great company. And if I were to hold like kind of a, you know, a core position in it, I would probably just sit with it.
But generally looking for something in the earlier stages of its innovation life cycle.
I mean, and kind of the beauty of the O'Neill approach is that you're always looking for the new, the next great secular trend that can turn into a 10 bagger. Bless you. As opposed to you know, having to stick with, you know, old leadership. So I'm not saying Nvidia's old leadership, but it's had an enormous move. And
it's not leading.
Yeah, it's not leading at the moment anyway. So yeah, I like to position myself elsewhere where I think I can, where there's more potential.
And thank you. One note, I talked about the auto fit, just like in the prior platform, in this platform, if you're on the daily, it's going to be grayed out. The place to change that and to view the change is on the weekly, and that's how we had it before, and that's how we have it now. And the market is off lows. Chris, your thoughts on how the day is shaping up so far?
It's looking much better than how it opened, I'll tell you that. And everything was down more than a percent, and now the comp is down 0.7, SPY is around 0.9, so things are definitely improving. I'm just, again, there, I'm not finding setups right now that are, where I feel good about entering. I could just jump in on a stock and hope it continues to go up. And there are quite a few that are in uptrends and doing well. I was just looking at MasTec, MTZ. And this is one that, kind of round tripped on me, and I got out of it and didn't get back into it. And it's, acting really well. So, and it's really, I mean, like so many other stocks, that they're, breaking their 21 day or even their 50 day, and this one has been holding the 10 day. So that's impressive. And I think
Very
that
impressive.
Ken still might have it.
Yeah,
It's
it's
kind of nice that the again, the indexes, I mean, like if you look at SPY, it came like within a point of the low. So remember, for the follow-through day rule, if you undercut the low of the rally attempt, then you are, you've basically killed that rally. So this rally attempt is still alive because, SPY came down to that level but did not undercut it. And again, as like Charles was saying at the, a number of times, this is a lot of upside reversals in a market that really deserves to get clobbered, right? The news is out there that could absolutely clobber this market, but it keeps on kind of fighting its way, fighting its way. And even, that undercut, I mean, look at how many times it kind of tested that 675 level roughly. And it just kept on bouncing off that level. And even as bad as it undercut it, it still closed above that level. So it's just buyers are coming in. I wouldn't be surprised to see us get back above that middle line that you drew, Allie, by the end of the day.
So with that being said, that's also what makes this market so tricky, because where we are, even with the closes off lows, we're still chopping lower. So it's like, so where is ultimately, it seems like it's a moving target kind of for where your line in the sand is
Well, and I think the
in
reminder
some
is,
respects.
yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the reminder is that you don't have to get the low, right? That's it's kind of a fool's game, right? To try and say, well, I want to get the absolute low, and get as close to it as possible. You can have a day, off the low. You can have, with the follow-through day, 4 days off the low and still be just fine, if this is going to be a rally that turns into something, which again we don't know yet. So this is where we try and be humble enough to say, hey, we're not going to force the market to bend to our will. We're just going to, look at the market and also recognize that, like the follow-through day that we just saw, they can fail. Right. That one absolutely failed. The 675.78 was the line in the sand and it failed, right? Once you break below it, that is failed. Even though we didn't close below it, the break kind of sets your new low. And so I will say it's a little unusual for a successful rally to make a low and to come all the way back down and test it, but I'm sure we could probably find an example in the database there, that did something like that.
Could I just chime in? My one concern is that I'd almost like to see a bigger sell-off. It almost feels like people are trying to catch that
I'm
falling
with you.
knife.
I'm with you,
And
Ed.
then are like,
Wash
you go, oh
out.
no, everything, because I mean, look, we're all waiting for it. We're all waiting for the end of hostilities or something, and we're going to get that big rally. So I think there's people who want to buy or don't want to sell. But, and yeah, so there is that risk that if we have some bad news over the weekend, that we really could start breaking down. But, that doesn't mean we could have good news. And so
Yeah,
all these
and I
people.
think maybe that's what people are like looking for. Oh, okay. What if we get good news over this
Yeah, and it
weekend?
certainly could happen.
Yes,
I don't
absolutely.
know.
But the other way, so again, it's a coin flip, I feel like,
We never, no one knows anything,
Right. Yeah.
right? We
So.
don't know anything. That's why I think that the it's a great discussion, and I think what this chart is telling us is that it's getting support, it's shaking out, and just interpret the chart, but don't act on it because we haven't had a follow-through day. So, like, if this were to now, if it were to work out and work its way up, and we get a follow-through. And then, if I was in a workshop explaining, well, let's go over the action, it would be really positive. You'd say, well, it held at a certain level, it shook out a few times, you had a number of upside reversals, and even this morning, it tested us, right near the low of yesterday. I don't think it undercut.
Not quite on this one.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm actually looking at the Nasdaq. Yeah, I thought we so
Let's
right.
look.
Yeah, it hasn't. And
Yeah, either one. The
yeah,
S&P 500 got
was
closer.
close.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot closer. So yeah, if I think the action is pretty good because it's so scary. I mean, it's you're I mean, we've talked about how we're all getting chopped up. And I don't think anyone's making any money, but it's this is a kind of the process, right? And it's at the end of the day, it'll be, I think it'll be, there's a lot of, the AAII survey's been bearish now for 3 of the last 4 weeks. I think there's that wall of worry, and I think the action, given the environment, is pretty constructive, but doesn't mean you have to act on anything, just interpret it. And I think the market is holding up relatively well given what's happening, but it's still this choppy sideways. So I mean, hopefully we're forming something, but to no, this is, I think, sitting on your hands, preserving your capital till you get that uptrend is the smart way to go.
And as a reminder, even when a follow-through day does happen, which one eventually will, we don't just plunge in. I'm gonna test Charles on market school rules. See,
Ooh.
see, see.
Oh, this is gonna be fun.
Right. Do you remember the restraint rule, Charles?
Yeah, you stay at a +2 until you get out of the pocket.
Yeah.
You
So
put them in your pocket.
put that in
Yes.
normal people
You're at a
terms.
+2 until you get, is it what?
Basically it's a kind of a 50% limit,
For
speed limit, 50, yeah,
exposure
for
or
exposure, a
portfolio.
55%, that's what the two kind of relates to, a 55% exposure limit until you get either a trend above the 50 above the 21-day moving average
Limit,
line,
yeah.
or you've made enough progress from the follow-through day. Yeah. And so again, there can be just ways for slowing yourself down until you make progress, until you get and that's been the problem. Like, we had this follow-through day, right? But then we didn't really make progress. So there was no reason to get very very heavily invested, except that you had the RSP and EQAL and all of those other things that were still acting well at the time and hadn't broken down yet. But then again, once they did, I think that kind of, for a while there, we were even saying it feels weird to even say we need a follow-through day, because yes, maybe on the NASDAQ, but when you have the equal weighted indexes at new highs, what correction, if the average stock isn't really correcting. So, yeah, this is a very unusual market in that regard, that it got so disjointed in that way. Very unusual.
Yeah, no, to see that diver usually, we picked a NASDAQ to do our market school because it was the leading index with that had on most of the stocks that we trade, the true growth index. And now to see that divergence where the S&P, the Dow were, outperforming the Nasdaq, some of the other indices or equal weighted indices, participating. This is something that we hadn't encountered in a long time. But I mean, I still pay attention to the Nasdaq personally.
The most, yeah.
A lot of the some of the equal weight or the smaller stocks, like my liquidity requirements are pretty high. So I mean, there's just a lot of things I can't trade, or I won't. It's not I can't trade. I won't trade if I feel like I can't get in and out pretty quick.
You've got a rule.
Yeah. So I like a ton of stocks just don't even make my list.
Well said. Okay, Charles, does VRT make your list? Gonna zoom out. Tell us about this one.
I like VRT. I don't currently have a position, but it's a stock that I've done quite a bit of trading in it. Yeah, I like it. I think it's consolidating and holding relatively tight given what's happening in the market. And so, there's not that many stocks that are looking as strong and holding up as well. It's almost it looks a little bit like a better version of Bloom in a way. It kind of broke
Yeah.
out of the base and is holding above it. So yeah, like VRT, they're vital to the data center, right? Cooling the data center. So I think it looks good, but I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't do anything until the market's in our favor.
Another one for you, Charles. I'm seeing a lot in the Q&A today and lately is Fastly.
Someone brought this up to me, and I honestly I don't know the story. I like stocks that can I see like a monthly? I'm just curious.
Yeah, let's go to the monthly. It had, I think it, yeah, COVID boom and then bust, now trying to come back.
Kind of reminds me of like a Twilio or even
Yeah.
kind of like a Meta or Facebook when they went public and then they crashed and had their long consolidation and then they jumped up on gigantic volume and just like a big one day move and then they continued to move higher over time. So I kind of like that setup, but honestly I don't know the story. The fundamentals look relatively good, but I don't know much about it.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go to Chris. Have you take a look at GE? This longer term chart looks good, but coming closer here to the daily, it was an area that was holding up, and now also seeing that breakout failure.
Yeah, there's a lot of stocks like this that they hold on and then they lose it. So that was not a good bar yesterday. I think it just needs to set up again. Although if you look at how it's traded in the last two bases, if you're going to trade it, I would be looking to play the rebound here rather than wait for a breakout. And
Right.
and then if it can break out, then you can turn it into a position trade. But how I often approach things, they're a swing trade first, and then if they prove themselves, then they become positions.
Yeah. I like that. Look for an earlier entry versus waiting for the breakout there. A couple, and I know we're getting close to the end of our time here. So just really quickly, just for the audience, I'll fly through some of these. Merck was another one. It was looking great. Now it too pulling back right to that 50-day line, the first touch of that level since the breakout in November. Also, Walmart was holding up more or less, got hit yesterday, still holding above the 50 days. So perhaps a pullback buy brewing here for those who want some exposure in that type of stock. Viking broke out recently, and then some tricky action here around that earnings report. So just wanted to note that for folks as well. Another one for you, Chris, and that is back to the chip space. Your thoughts on TSM? I know you've traded it in the past. I don't know
if
you're still
in it. Yeah, I was in it, and then I took some profits when it was when it lost the 10-day and when it lost the 21-day, and I think that's when I got out. I'm still looking at it, and I've traded it a number of times, and it often, you know, when it sets up, it's a good stock that you can get a good swing trade on. And, you know, it hasn't really, well, I guess earlier in the year it was doing better. I mean, Leaderboard had this on a few times for extended gains. So it's definitely one that I like to trade.
Relative strength line.
Mm-hmm.
Looking pretty good going back a year or so. All right. A couple more for Justin, then a couple more for Charles, and then we'll get some final thoughts. Justin, you wanted to highlight General Dynamics today in that aerospace defense group. I'm seeing a blue dot on the weekly chart here. Let's take a closer look on the daily.
Yeah, I mean, the blue dot is a little bit easier to get when you're not falling apart, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, even if you're down, you know, you can get the blue dot because you're not down as much as you know, the S&P 500. But again, I'm looking at the things that are holding up. I'm looking at the things that have the relative strength that is holding up better. And that doesn't mean that this is going to necessarily be where all of the leaders are. But a lot of times the leaders do come from those areas that hold up best. Now, again, a lot can change based on news with, you know, stocks that are in the aerospace defense area. You know, when you see in the description, oh, you know, this, you know, helps with combat operations. Well, gosh, you can see that something, you know, news could really change how this acts. But again, this is already proven that it's got the ability to move. You know, we saw that in the latter half of last year, a nice move. And then, you know, these consolidations, I would say, is a base on base. The reason we say something is a base on base is when you don't have a 20% move between your bases. The only thing that I hesitate with on the base on base, it's almost what Arusha kind of coined as a neighbor base, because you didn't really, a lot of times the base on base will be formed more on top of the previous base. And this one really came in, you know, quite a bit into the previous base, but yeah, it's holding up. Whereas a lot of things are down considerably. This is, you know, if you, you know, kind of do the calculation for these bases, it's very narrow. Like the first one is a 8% depth and the second one is a 9% depth. So very, you know, very resilient in that regard. It's not giving much up.
All right. Thank you so much. This was answering a question. One more. Let's do a lightning mode, Justin, on KRMN in this group. Questions here.
Well, you know, Leaderboard caught this. It was one of the stocks that kind of made the January month for Leaderboard, and has actually kind of helped put it on a strong step to start the year along with FIGR. But, you know, it kind of goes to show how with some of these more volatile stocks, getting out while the getting is good is kind of the way to go. And while you could say, oh, look, it came down, you know, and tested its previous buy point, I don't like when something is up 44% and then comes all the way down and goes negative. So that's not the typical action of a leader. Now it's rebounded. But I'm probably going to be staying away from this one myself, just because that roller coaster isn't a ride I want to be on right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Charles, there were folks wanting your take on cryptocurrency. Here's a quick look at iBit tried to make a move off lows earlier in the week, but perhaps more interesting, maybe, I don't know, Robinhood, because it was a leader at one time, but now it's not. So this is very damaged. The one in this space, I think, that is really, you know, has potential because it is turning, albeit off of a very low level, is Circle, CRCL. Anything of interest to you that's crypto related, the audience wants to know.
Yeah, I do. I am holding a small position in Ethereum.
Okay.
Which is kind of a recent buy. It does seem like, let me pull up ETHA. I got in really in just the past few days, but again, I'm only buying weakness too. So I actually, I might even buy a little bit. I kind of like the, as I saw the show yesterday and David Ryan was talking about some of the kind of turnaround plays that he's made that were just very non-traditional. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a small position, but I do think
sort of this undercut type. This is the IGB that they're
right,
talking
exactly
about on the show yesterday.
Yeah, he was talking about some of the software stocks that, you know, have been completely pummeled and getting in. And
so this also had an undercut.
Yeah,
of an area.
If you pull up a daily,
sure.
You can see how the stock is kind of, you know, you had that vicious, you know, collapse, and then an upside reversal kind of retest right there that you're pointing to. And I've just noticed this is more just like when a stock breaks out, not breaks out, but a couple of days ago when you kind of broke out of that little range, the blue day on the gap up 2 days ago. And then when you pull back after that, that's I like to buy those pullbacks after that kind of breakout, and then I draw a line above the peak of 2 days ago, and if it breaks out of that, usually, you know, you can get some short-term thrust, and I wouldn't be surprised if it can get up to the 50 if it works. Circles is one that I have traded it before, but I missed this move, and it's because I had the Ethereum already and I just didn't want more exposure kind of in crypto related, and I wish I would have picked obviously the Circle instead of the ETHA. But the Circle reminds me of a stock I traded back in back in the early 2000s. If you pull up Skechers in 2020, so Skechers had a very similar look. It's funny how some of the presidents,
I think it was bought out.
Yeah, it was bought out.
So okay, that
up. Yeah, it was bought out while you were gone, Allie.
I was going to say that happened on exactly. My leave.
Oh, you can't pull up an old like
no.
Not right now.
Oh, that's a bummer. Well, if anyone has the ability to look for an old precedent, maybe, you know, another product or something, Skechers had a very similar look where it felt like in three waves and then it turned it. It actually looks incredibly similar to Circle. So, oh, maybe I could share my screen.
Sure.
You want me to try to do that?
Yeah.
IBD live overtime.
Yes.
I mean, I hey. Hold on. First let me pull it. Can't Mike do this? Mike can. Doesn't Mike have that?
Oh wait,
no.
Oh, wait.
I don't have it anymore.
I have to make you co-host. Which wait. Charles do I make co-host? The one that's muted or unmuted?
Oh, the one that's. Oh, I think the one that's muted actually.
Okay, let's see it. Let's try it. Just don't end the show.
But wait, let me make sure that I can pull it up. Hold on.
This is a lot of trust that Allie is putting in you, Charles. Don't disappoint her.
Okay. Hold on a minute.
I trust you.
Because I was actually just looking at it and trying to figure out why am I not pulling it up. It might not work. Hold on.
While he's doing that,
Oh, I know why it's not working. I'm looking on the wrong platform. Okay, hold on one more sec.
okay.
Here you
This
get you.
is who you're entrusting the controls to, Allie.
Yeah. While he's, it's okay.
Well, while he's
While,
doing that, Justin,
yeah.
why don't you go over the percent required for a follow-through day under market school?
So right now it's 1%, and that's based on kind of a volatility measure. Because the reality is we weren't that volatile for quite a while. Now the volatility has increased, by a lot of different measures, but that one hasn't. The one that we use for market school purposes hasn't increased enough. So 1%, 1% will do it. The one that Mike Webster called on the SMT, a couple weeks ago, that one was 0.9%. So again, that's why he was calling it follow through day in spirit, because it didn't meet the exact rule, but it kind of had the look of it. But yeah, we tend to want to include more because we know that we can always protect ourselves with stops and with rules to get us out if things start turning. So Bill and Chris has repeated this over and over. The error of, commission is a lot better than the error of omission. So we will, lean towards calling a follow-through day rather than omitting it and potentially missing an opportunity.
Cool.
Did I stall
Got
long enough
it.
for you, Charles?
It's not working. I
That's
don't know
okay. Okay.
why.
That's all
Sorry.
right. But your point was it reminds you of what Circle's doing now. Do we want to
Yeah.
circle back and close the loop
I see what you did
on
there. Circle?
I could tell you what happened. It had a big spike that continued for a while. So like I could see if it occurred like Skechers, it would probably go up to, I don't know, 140 or 50-ish. And then it had a choppy little consolidation while the 50-day caught up. And then it went again and it turned into be a great leader. I'm so bummed right now because I wrote this down and I don't know why I'm having trouble finding the chart because I found it the other day.
Would the Skechers precedent be in the model book
Probably.
course?
You might need the OZD, Charles. If you're trying to put in the ticker, you might just need the OZD. So that's where you have
That's a
to
foreign language to many,
the,
but
what is it? The O'Neill Securities you
identity.
identify
Okay.
identifier or something like that.
You
Yeah,
could
so
try a nine after the normal symbol. That used to work sometimes.
yeah,
I'm trying this nine,
okay. Well,
standards,
I think
yeah,
at this
nine and
point,
eight, and it's not working.
yes,
I
we'll
think at
move
this
on.
point we'll
What
have to
period
leave
do
it
you want to look at?
as a
I could probably
cliffhanger.
find a chart.
Well, because of what time it is,
Yeah, okay, never mind.
Chris,
Yeah.
Ellie's okay going into overtime, but not overtime like, oh, let's see who can get it first.
I could go to my own model, my actual paper model book, and pull it out probably pretty quick.
And
I'm
then
gonna do that. This is a crazy train. We're going off the rails Is it you
here.
guys want to?
That I keep
How about you
drawing on the
post it to
chart.
X and then we'll show it next
Yeah. Oh,
week.
can you do that? Yeah,
That's a
take some
great idea.
pictures. Just take some
That's a
pictures of
great
it.
idea.
What
I
is
love that.
your handle that you can share with everybody?
Jazz Harris.
Is it at Jazz Harris
Then some numbers.
1025 or
Your
something?
birthday.
1025. That it?
I
Chaz.
haven't posted on X in a long time, but I'm
So now someone's going to have to help
yeah
them post on
at
X.
And sometimes people like emulate me or and then instead of the 1025, they'll do 1025. That would be a fake Charles.
Yeah,
It's
don't. And but
at
it's Chaz with an
S,
S, not a Z.
CHAS Harris 1025.
Okay, there we go. We're counting on
Yeah,
you.
I'll do
Let's
that.
give you one more ticker. The audience wants to know your thoughts. Talk about heat. Here's AAOI.
Yeah. I remember trading the fiber optic stocks back in when Lumentum had its first run back in when was it, Justin?
Lumentum, or are you talking about Corning and
Well,
JDSU
no. Like
in 2000?
when I got tied into Acacia, which will never come.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so
But
that was the mid 2010s.
that was I think it was like a 2016, around that time.
Yeah,
Since
because it was, I feel like it was
yeah, it was like
kind of when
16,
I
17.
started
Yeah, that's when it
at
was. It,
IBD a
so
few years
yeah,
after.
it was a gray sock. I was totally I did really well in this AAOI. All those stocks were running. I think it's way too extended for me to do anything in this. I miss it. I like Lumentum, but I think the 100 to 800, I mean, Bill would say, what more do you want? So I mean, I'm not saying it can't, be like a taser type of thing, but no, I think if you, for me, I missed it. So, and I think it was again that prejudice of, oh, I played these before, I got killed in Acacia, like fiber stocks, like I just don't like wanna like them because of a really negative experience 10 years ago. But that's not a good reason to avoid a sector. But it did nothing for 10 years, and now it's in favor, kind of like the storage companies, So I think it's a good lesson to show no bias, and when something catches on, there can be incredible potential. But yeah, I think an eightfold move in 9 months, I think that's enough. I'm not saying it can't go higher. I'm just saying it. If I wouldn't get on board something that's had that kind of
That's
move in that kind
extended.
of time frame. I just missed it. It's okay to move on to, for try to
Right.
find the next one.
And it might be a little bit different. Say we were in a power trend and you can be really aggressive. Maybe you can use some of the, that aggressive playbook with some of these shorter patterns. We've talked about that, but that's not the kind of market that we're in right now.
Yeah, no, you have to be really careful too, because when something goes from 60 to something doubles in a few days.
Yeah,
In
very
my
careful.
experience, is something is better to sell into that than to buy more of it.
I hear you. Let's get lightning mode version of final thoughts from the team. Justin, I'm counting on you to set the tone.
Well, how brave of you. Well, again, I think the big thing here is that the rally attempt remains intact. We'll see where we close today and again be looking for the follow through. But remember, you don't have to plunge in if that happens. Go in slowly and be very cognizant of this weekend, still doing your research, not giving up, not being complacent and saying, oh, well, I'm just gonna, not do anything until the market improves, because you want to be ready. Because remember, it can improve, Monday could be a follow-through day. So you want to be ready for it. And so that's what the weekends are for.
Well said. Chris, final thoughts from you.
Well, our cover story this week is going to be on how the market acts in during wars. And there's a table showing all the wars of the 20th century, and how the, or many, I should say, and how the market did over the first month, 3 months, 6 months, and year. And it is overall, they're likely to shake them off, especially if the economy is not heading into a recession. So we're not in that spot right now. I would actually prefer if the market loses the 200-day and scares more people out, because I think that we need a bigger correction to kind of reset everything. But if we get the follow-through next week, I'll be buying. I probably won't be buying 10% positions though.
Thank you, Chris. And Charles, please wrap us up.
Oh, one thing, Charles, just because Scott offered to also look for the chart. What time frame?
Actually, I just found it.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
What's the end date?
I just have March 31st, 2000 on Skechers. I have a daily chart on my screen.
Okay. I assume you can make it somewhat snappy.
Let me try to do this. Let's see. Okay. So now
Otherwise, I'm gonna have to go, and you guys might have to wrap
Exactly.
the show without me.
Do you see anything?
It's coming. There we
Yep, I see
go.
it.
Look at
Yeah.
that.
Okay, I could definitely see the comparison to circle.
So you can
So
see that
wait for the next base, maybe.
it had three lows, and then it kind of came up. I think this is the area here where circle's kind of moving up. And then it had this choppy kind of sideways pullback to the 50, didn't quite get there. And then if you go forward, let me see, hold on. We go to the say September. It just kept moving up, in kind of a nice little kind of stair step, break out, pull back, break out, pull back to the 50, and the 50 contained the move all the way up to the end of September, and then it actually formed a base and went again. So who knows? I just noticed that IPO setup was similar to what Circle's doing. So maybe it turns into something like this.
I love how great Charles is at
Great
the
job.
precedents and remembering. Oh yeah, I remember trading something like that. So very, very good, Charles.
Awesome. Glad you were able to pull that up.
Yeah, wow. I don't
All
know.
right. Nice. All right, everyone. That is it from us for today here on the show. But make sure you keep keeping tabs on investors.com throughout the trading day and beyond for all the latest stock market news and analysis. Webby and I will be back at the actually, or is it Justin today? I know there's one coming up.
It's Webby this time, and
Okay,
I'm going to
Webby
do next
today.
week.
Justin's
Yes.
going to be on next week. All right.
Yeah.
So Webby and I will be back at the close for our Stock Market Today video to wrap up the week and do a little look ahead for you. So make sure you tune in live on our YouTube channel this afternoon. Have a great weekend. Check out Market Surge Beta, and we will see you back here next week. Thanks so much. Great seeing you, Charles.
Thanks again. Appreciate it,
Bye-bye. Good to
guys.
see you, buddy.
Thanks. Bye now.
Recording stopped.